That could be really interesting to the live stream. I think my microphone has been on through the singing service, which is really funny because today I'm going to talk about singing. Justin said it's not, so you saved me. He had it muted. And we all say hallelujah. Hey, on a serious note, I do want to tell you, I received word just a moment ago that baby Oakley's uncle was involved in a very, very bad accident, thrown 400 to 500 feet, was life-flighted to hospital. Where is it at? In Montgomery, Baptist Hospital in Montgomery, and please remember that family in your prayers. Very, very sad news I received there. You know, sometimes Satan gets after us, right? I mean, let's face it, if he's not getting after us, maybe he's already got us. So it's a good thing sometimes, even though it doesn't feel like it, that he's getting after us. And a lot of times that happens on a Sunday morning. You notice that? Maybe to try to prevent you from coming to Bible class. Or maybe to try to prevent you from getting to worship. Satan is always, unfortunately, good at what he does. And, you know, there were just some things this morning that come up, and nothing major, nothing bad. Just some things you deal with that you can say, okay, I know Satan's here. It's time for you to get behind me. He got behind me probably when I came up here to do the bowl out for children's contribution, which is amazing because Steve said, look, Terry, I can set the bowl down. I said, hey, I don't mind going up there because sometimes the kids give me a hug. And you know, that's pretty cool to me. And sure enough, got some hugs. But a young lady came up. She hugged me too. And she put $100 bill in the bowl. And she said, this was my birthday money. Melanie May, you touched my heart today. Thank you very much for that, okay? By her giving her birthday money, $100, she's going to help children who don't have food enough for the weekends be able to have food on the weekends. God is always around us. We just got to look. Music makes a difference in our lives. You know that? I received word that maybe y'all talked a little bit about that today. And do not fear. Just because I tried to practice with the live stream, I'm not going to lead a song. I said that in class and people actually gave me a compliment. I'm like, bro, you hadn't sat by me lately about my singing. Anyhow. Music makes an impact. I heard this morning that it was mentioned a little bit in class. And while we were talking, gathering up before, somebody mentioned, if you've seen the movie Jaws, you know there's a score in that music, in that song, in the movie, with the music, that you just know that movie's Jaws, right? If you were to remove that music from that movie, it would not... It helped make that movie. By the way, did you know Jaws is the very first blockbuster movie? That's where that word came from. It literally busted the block. People trying to get in. There's your little... Tell Rhoda that's her trivia for the day. Secondly, what about the Imperial March in Star Wars? Every time Darth Vader made an appearance, that song played. Again, you take that out, it's not there. Music, there's probably today songs that you can remember from your teenage years or your childhood that takes you back to the very moment in time when that song first played. I can still hear, I grew up in a country music household, I can still hear older country songs and think about being places, being on vacation with my cousin or different places where I heard songs for the first time and it made an impact on me. You know, those things remind us that music matters. It makes an impact. Imagine you've done everything right in life. I mean, you're doing things the right way. As a Christian, you have gone out and you have preached the good news of Jesus Christ. You have been helping people. You have even served God faithfully. And the next thing you know, some angry people, they come up and they arrest you. And besides that, they strip you down. They take rods, metal rods, and they hit you many times. Until your back, your legs, your behind, everything else is bleeding. And then they take you and they put you in prison. And while you're in prison, they secure your feet, your hands, and they even put a guard on you because you are, in their minds, such an evil person. That's where we find Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas had been preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. They had preached it to a point where it affected some people's finances, and that made them mad. It still makes people mad to affect their finances today. But it made them so mad. You know, and there's evil in this world today, folks. Trust me, there is. And we've seen it take place. We've seen innocent people teach about Jesus, teach about truth, and get assassinated right before our eyes. We've seen those kinds of things happen. But it didn't just happen in 2025. It's been going on forever, as long as evil's been in this world. And see, it happened in Acts 16. Some evil men, because it affected their money, they got together, they arrested these two young men, these older men, whatever age they were at that time. They beat them with rods. They locked them up. And they probably didn't think they were ever going to get out of prison again. They weren't sitting in a pew on a Sunday morning. They're sitting on a cold, damp floor. Their backs are bleeding. Their feet are fastened. Their hearts are hurting. And yet in verse 25, Luke records these words. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm probably not in the right state of mind. I'm probably not where I need to be at that moment in time. In fact, I might still be a good person, but I'm probably thinking if I could get my hands on them, or if I could just have 5 minutes in a room with them. You know, what do you mean? Man, we're doing everything right. Can you believe? And I could complain and complain and complain. And if you did that, I'd probably say, I get it, and we'll be right along with you. But that's not what Paul and Silas were doing. These men had something we all need today. In times of trouble, in times of good, in times of all kinds of times. You know what Paul and Silas had? They had a song on their heart. You see, worship doesn't start with perfect circumstances. You know, I want to compliment our song leaders here. I want to compliment Jason and others who decided, hey, we really want to give our best to God. And Jason said, let's have a class. And he and Steve and I'm sure Joseph and others, they got together and they would learn these songs. One time, you know, Jason is as humble as anybody I know, really. I mean, if I played 9 years in the big leagues, I wouldn't fit through this room, much less he doesn't even want to talk about it. But that's how humble he is. But he told me one time, before he brings a new song towards us, he's probably sang that song 100 times. You know, and all these song leaders, I know Steve, he's always listening. Joseph's always listening. Danny, all these others are always listening, always trying to learn. And I want to compliment you. But you know what happens sometimes? They'll get in here, and they'll sing a song, or lead us in a song, and it may be a song we don't know very well. We may be thinking, man, I just want to sing the old Rugged Cross. Why do we sing all these new songs around here? You know, those of us who are from the old school, Songs of the Church books, okay? Y'all remember those? Why don't we get upset about verse 2? Verses, you know, three-verse song, we're going to sing first and last. Verse 2 hadn't been sang in 100 years. You know, that's an old verse. Let's give up. I'm just saying, though, let's think about it. Sometimes we get set in our ways, right? Listen, I love the old Rugged Cross. I also love Goodness of God. The point of it is, we might think for a second, man, we're singing all these old songs. Or we're singing all these new songs. Or we could be thinking, some of the generations say, why are we singing all these old songs? Man, that, look at that date. It was written in the 1800s. I want to challenge you all, if you have that mindset, there's somebody here that needs to hear that song. Somebody here that song's touching their heart. You might think, I don't want to hear this song again, and that there's somebody over there in tears. When you have a congregation of 300 people, there are all kinds of different hearts in here and all kinds of different places. And you know what? No matter what is led before us, best that we can, we need to be singing out and saying, hey, this is a praise to the Almighty. That's our responsibility as Christians. We got to pour our heart out no matter what. I told you music makes an impact on you. I do not know, save Taylor Swift. I only know her name. I don't know any of her music. I'll be completely frank as I can be with you today. I am so out of touch with music. And I realized that when I was studying for this lesson. So my thought was, I remember as a teenager one time I did a class on lyrics and songs that kids were listening to, but I was up on music then. I'm not up on anybody. So I'm not pulling any singular person out, so all you Swifties out there, you can relax a little bit. I'm not going to jump on you. But I am going to say this, music makes an impact. Out of the top 50 songs, from country to hip-hop to rap to R&B to all the above, out of the top 50 songs, half of the top 50 include some type of profanity. Half of them, 25 of the 50. 30% of them have references to alcohol, including casual, club, party, those kinds of settings. 40% of them have sex or explicit intimacy lyrics, including suggestive or explicit sexual themes. 25% of them have references to drugs, especially referencing weed, pills, or getting high. 10% of them deal with violence and weapons. 35% of them deal with disrespect or derogatory language towards others. I don't listen to music, so it's not a problem for me. but our kids do. Our adults, some of us do. I do have earbuds, and I do use them. So do our kids. And I'm not going to tell you they're wrong because I have some, right? But when that is in our ears, and we keep hearing it over and over and over and over and over again, the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15:33 says evil companionship corrupts good morals. That literally is garbage in, garbage out. It will make an impact. Football teams don't run out to Barry Manilow. Okay, why? Because they want something hard and something with a strong beat and all, because it's an amped up type song. Because it makes an impact. And so all day long we can fight. We shouldn't listen to this and we shouldn't listen to that. Well, how about instead of getting out with 50% of this and 40% of this and 35% of this, we get out with, when I'm overwhelmed within from the weight of all my sin, I need a friend to call my own. I need a house to call my home. When I'm broken and down inside and there's nowhere else to hide, I need a place where I feel known. Can someone help me? Then I hear your reply, bringing teardrops to my eyes, saying, I'm not alone. Oh Lord, I need you now more than ever. Would you put my heart back together? I searched the world till my head hurt just to find out your way's better. I'd rather my daughter get out of school having Forrest Frank on her heart than having some of this other garbage. Because music makes a difference. All of us have a song on our heart. What song do you want your kids to have in their hearts? What song is on your heart today? What song will be on your heart tomorrow? Or on Thursday of this week? Paul and Silas had a song on their heart. A song that impacted them. A song that impacted the Philippian jailer and his family. I suggest to you they had the song on their heart that did that because their hearts belonged to Yahweh. So what can we learn from singing? In a week or so, less than a week, we're going to have a group here that will be singing with us, leading us in singing. Why is it important? Number one, it's commanded by God. We need to sing and make melody in our hearts. It's a song that we don't know, let's learn it. One of the songs that we didn't know, and I wasn't in the singing class, I was teaching during that time, and I'm not upset that they had a class and I wasn't a part of, but the point I'm trying to say is, when there's a new song, I try to get it from them, and then I listen to it, and I try to learn it. Or maybe if young people, if you think, hey, we don't sing enough new songs, we sing too many old songs, get some of those out and look at the lyrics of them. Go look at the lyrics of Hallelujah, What a Savior. They all make an impact. They're all for God's glory. But I want you to have a song on your heart for all points of life. I want you to have a song about God on your heart. But when I look at Paul and Silas, I look and I see that they had a song on their heart for when life hurts. The Bible again says they were seized, beaten with rods, and thrown into prison. Their situation wasn't fair. Right? That was unjust. It was unfair. Their situation was painful. Their situation was uncomfortable. They had every reason to complain, but instead they chose to praise. I want that kind of heart. I want that kind of moment. I want to be able to have a song on my heart even when times are hard, that I can still sing praise to God. There's a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on what happens to me, what happens to us. Our happiness depends on that. Joy depends on who lives in me. Paul and Silas show us faith doesn't cancel pain, right? They still felt the pain. They still had the wounds. They still hurt physically, and I would imagine emotionally. But faith does transform how we respond to it. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Whatever you're walking through right now, it may be hard, and Satan may have been after you, and he may have attacked you, and you thought, hey, I just showed up, and that's good enough. Folks, we can still sing. We can still commune. We can still read. We can still participate. We can, but why? Because our faith helps us respond to it. That song on our heart of praise to God should help us respond to it. Even when everything around us breaks down, we can still lift up praise to God. Because joy doesn't live in your situation, it lives in your Savior. You want a song for when life hurts? You've heard this before. Horatio G. Spafford. He lived from 1828 to 1888. He was a successful lawyer and devout Christian living in Chicago. He and his wife Anna were well-known supporters of the evangelist Dwight L. Moody. In 1871, tragedy struck when the Great Chicago Fire destroyed much of the city. You see, Spafford had invested heavily in real estate along Lake Michigan. And nearly all of his holdings were lost overnight. Around that same time, his young son died of scarlet fever. So within a short period, he suffered enormous financial loss and devastating personal grief. 2 years later, in 1873, Spafford decided to take his wife and four daughters to Europe for a time of rest and to assist Moody, the evangelist, with a revival campaign in England. But at the last minute, business matters kept Horatio in Chicago. So he sent Anna and his four daughters ahead, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanita. They went on the ship SS Ville du Havre. And on November 22, 1873, tragedy struck again. That ship collided with another vessel, the Loch Earn, in the Atlantic Ocean. And it sank in 12 minutes. All four of the Spafford daughters drowned. Only Anna, his wife, survived. When she reached Wells, she sent her husband a brief, heartbreaking telegram. Saved alone. What shall I do? Shortly afterward, Horatio boarded a ship to join his grieving wife. When the captain informed him that they were passing over the very spot where his daughters had perished, Spafford went to his cabin, overwhelmed with sorrow. It was there. He penned the timeless words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." You see, these lyrics are not a denial of pain. They're a declaration of faith in spite of the pain. They express a deep conviction that even in loss and even in heartbreak, God's peace remains. In the dark moments, that's when real worship is revealed. So have a song on your heart. Secondly, looking at Paul and Silas, we learn that we need to have a song on our heart that will help grow our faith. Looking back at verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. Their singing wasn't private. It was very public. You see, their worship at that moment became a teaching moment in the lives of others. They weren't singing about, "Oh, poor, pitiful me," oh, or "How I wish I wasn't in this situation," or "I wish that all these people who are against me would die." They were singing about God. They were singing, I'm sure, about His amazing grace. They weren't singing to get out of prison. They were singing because even there, God was still worthy. Think about it. The chains could not silence their faith. The pain could not stop their faith. The darkness could not defeat their faith. They had a song on their heart, because they had a Savior who had overcome the world. You want a song about telling others about our faith? As we sing, as we go around, and others hear, and others see, why are you singing? Why are you so happy? Why are you so full of joy? Let me tell you why. Because this is what God's done for me. Sometime in the early 2000s, Chris Tomlin was sitting on his sofa in Austin, Texas. And he was meditating on a great psalm, Psalm 104. In that psalm, it teaches, "You, O Lord, are very great. You're clothed with splendor and majesty." And all that kept coming to his mind were the following words: "The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light." You see, it was out of that song, out of that moment, out of those words, that the song, "How Great Is Our God," was born. because of our faith, because of our Savior, despite the circumstances. May we all sing at the top of our lungs because our faith leads us to how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. But finally this morning, another song that we need on our heart is a song for when God moves in our lives. You go back to Acts 16 and look at verse 26. Luke records there, suddenly there was a great earthquake. This is after the songs and after the prayers now. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. You know what God did? He shook that place. He shook the prison. But the real miracle that day wasn't the earthquake. It was the conversion of the jailer. Because the jailer saw something real. He saw something powerful. He saw something different, and he saw it in Paul, and he saw it in Silas, because he was there when they were beaten. He was there when they were cuffed. He was there when they were put in the inner prisons, and he was there, and he was listening when they were singing hymns of praise to God. And he said, sirs, what must I do to get like you? What must I do to get what you have? What must I do to be saved like you are? And of course, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And that night, that same night, remember it started at midnight, the jailer and his whole household, they were baptized. So you want a song on your heart? We want a song on our heart. It reminds us that God set us free. John Newton was not raised a Christian. He was born in London in 1725. He had a godly mother. And he had a sea captain father. His mother, she taught him Scripture. She taught him hymns of God as a boy. She prayed so hard that one day her son would become a preacher. But she died when he was only 7 years old. As a teenager, Newton went to sea with his father. And his life quickly spiraled into rebellion. His life was filled with profanity, immorality, and a lot of arrogance. He eventually became involved in the Atlantic slave trade, working on slave ships and even being the captain of one of them. Later in life, he described himself as a wretch, enslaved by sin even as he enslaved others. In March of 1748, while sailing home to England, Newton's ship, the Greyhound, was caught in a violent storm off the coast of Ireland. The waves battered the vessel and it began to fill with water. Convinced this was it, the ship and he were about to go down. I'm about to die. Newton cried out to God for the first time. A God he had mocked, a God he had rejected, and a God that he didn't even think at times existed. It was that night that became the beginning of his conversation with God. Amazing grace.
how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Here's what's remarkable to me about Paul and Silas. Even after the chains fell off, even after the jails were opened, Paul and Silas didn't run. They didn't leave. They stayed. Why? Because I believe they weren't there for the escape. They were there for the impact. Their song changed the atmosphere of that entire prison. Think about that. The song that they had on their heart changed the atmosphere of the entire prison and changed the soul of the Philippian jailer and his family. Maybe today you have lost your song. I get it, life is hard. Maybe yours has been extremely hard. And because of that, you have watched that now the melody is gone. Let me remind you of something today that Mr. Newton recorded a long time ago. We are saved by God's amazing grace. And because of that, today you can get your song back. When we all remember what Jesus has done for us, how He was beaten, how He was arrested, how He was crucified, yet He rose again. Once you surrender your life to that, once you put to death your old life and contact God, contacts you with the blood of Jesus through the waters of baptism, and you come up out of that water raised in newness of life, you'll find the reason to sing. Or maybe we've just given up. But somehow, you found your way back here today. I want to remind all of us, if that's you that needs to walk the aisle, if that's you that needs to be baptized, if Christ could bring light out of a tomb, He can bring a song out of your sorrow. Man of sorrows. What a name. For the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place. Condemned. He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's get your song back right now as together we stand and sing.